Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. When you write a book and you publish it, and in some cases it may not do so well in the beginning, that is not the end for your book. Some authors, they continue to promote that book to drive more sales, but an approach that is getting a lot more attention and a lot more people are doing it now is to revise and re-release the book. So by re-releasing it into the public, you are able to promote it as a new launch and drive more sales to the book. This increasingly popular strategy is getting used by more authors, and we're going to focus on it in this episode. So even if you have a book that hasn't really sold lately, you can use this to start new. Today's guest is the CEO and founder of Author Marketing Experts and is an adjunct professor at NYU. She is a best-selling author and internationally recognized book marketing and media relations expert. Her company is one of the leaders in the publishing industry and has developed some of the most cutting-edge book marketing campaigns out there. Today's guest for episode 180 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Penny Sanservieri. Penny, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be on, Mark. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Penny, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show. I really look forward to diving into this interesting topic because some authors, they may feel like they launched their first book, they don't have all the insights that they have now, and obviously like being able to re-release would have a big impact on sales. So before we get into that, I'd just like to get some background. So why did you start Author Marketing Experts?
Well, I started it 18 years ago because I felt like at the time, self-publishing or independent publishing, as it's now referred to, was really in its infancy. But I felt like this was going to be something, this was going to have an enormous impact on the industry. So I wanted to start a company that was really focused on helping that new author. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I focused on independent authors initially, but we work with traditionally published authors. We've had a number of, you know, big celebrity books and whatnot. And it all comes back to not every author launches their book with a massive platform or a million followers on Twitter. And, you know, you got to know where to start. And so that was kind of the genesis of everything.
And you have some authors where if they're coming out with their book, this is great. You have some people who have already written their books, already published them. And some of them may hear this idea of, oh, I can revise and re-release. It's a really great idea. I can sell it like it's a new book, make more revenue. So what does that process look like for revising and re-releasing?
Well, here's the interesting, and I'm glad that we're talking about this book today. So 3 years ago, I'm at this conference, right? And this guy says to me, he comes up to me and he says, you know, Penny, 5 years ago, I wrote this science fiction book and it's really good, but I had no idea what I was doing. Now, 5 years later, he goes, I know so much more about marketing. I really wish that I knew then what I know now. And I said, well, why don't you re-release this book? Just, you know, take it off of Amazon or leave it on Amazon and we can talk about both iterations if there's time in this podcast. But, you know, I said, why don't you just put up a new cover, refresh the cover and re-release the book? And, you know, then I said, and do one even better than that. Why don't you re-release it and chop it up into 4 books? So you have a 400-page, you know, book, chop it up into 4 parts and release each of those parts of the book incrementally. I wouldn't, you know, depending on how big the cliffhanger is, I told him I wouldn't recommend that you wait too long, but, you know, 4 books and then bundle the book. And now you've just re-released the entire series. And you've given it to your readers in a format that they really resonate with, which is, for his particular audience, the genre fiction readers love the series and they love the, you know, they love it. They love their ebooks. So that's kind of how this was born. And then one of the things that I discovered is that fiction or nonfiction, I've done it. You know, many of our, I've done it with my nonfiction books. Many of our other authors all over the various genres have decided that for whatever reason, either the book requires updating or it's, you know, or it just needs a new chance at life. And they're putting these books, re-releasing them and putting them up on Amazon.
And like, there are some people who, they write a lot of books. Like some people I've seen write like hundreds of books. Some of it, like the way some people do is they'll do it themselves. Some of them, they may hire a ghostwriter for others. But yeah, one of the ideas that you get in the self-publishing is being able to publish more books gives you an advantage. So is there, like, revising and re-releasing means they're putting in this work on one book. So like you still have the same number of books, but what's the reason someone should revise and re-release a book instead of just creating an entirely new book, which could generate more sales?
Well, you know, if you are, so a couple of reasons that authors want to revise and re-release the book. There are a couple different ways to do this on Amazon. So you can either publish over the existing book and retain all the reviews, or you can publish an entirely new book. Now, the benefits of that are, if you publish an entirely new book, is maybe something happened with the old book. So an example of this is, we had an author who was with a publisher. She got the rights back to the book, but when the publisher promoted the book, they promoted it to the wrong market. They believed that it was, you know, Christian historical fiction, and the book was nowhere near that. And what ended up happening is she got a whole bunch of not great reviews on Amazon because the wrong market was pitched for this book. And so she said, you know, when I republish this book, I really don't want to be connected to it. I don't want to retain those reviews and carry those over into the new book. And so she decided to just put the book up onto a new page. In other cases, for example, with me, whenever I update a particular book, usually I'm updating for, you know, accuracy, content, things like that. My social media book needs updating quite a bit. Facebook changes all the time. You know, websites, the types of websites that do well and pop-ups and all of this stuff changes frequently. So, but I will go in and I will publish over the existing book so that I retain all of those old reviews. So there are two ways to do it. And depending on how much of the book that you update will depend on whether or not that you can do that. So what Amazon said to me when I talked to them is they said, look, if you update 20% or more of this book, that's considered a new book. But technically, the other side of this is that if you haven't changed the table of contents, there may be a way around that. So my suggestion to anyone listening who's thinking about doing this is give a call to Amazon, because the Amazon changes their terms of service as it relates to this quite frequently. So just be sure that, you know, tell them what you're planning on doing. And in some cases, in almost every case, unless the book has been completely rewritten, you can very easily publish over the other title if that's what you desire to do.
And for people who are interested in revising and re-releasing their books, like, for like self-publishing, if you've released the book before, re-releasing is as simple as like going into KDP, maybe changing keywords depending on if you change like a lot. But the basic idea is you just go in there, new file, publish the book. But what does the revising process look like from a writer's standpoint?
Well, you can certainly upload it to KDP. But keep in mind that you can go in and just upload a new version to KDP. And I do that a lot with my books if there's just something really minor that has changed. But keep in mind the publication date. So you know, books age very quickly. And one of the things that we want to be mindful of is that if you are re-releasing the book, you're doing so so that you can restart your marketing and go after bloggers and reviews. And it's much easier to do that with a book that is showing a current or newer publication date. So just kind of keep that in mind. It's a little bit, yes, you can absolutely do that, but in order to get a newer publication date, it's a little bit more complex. So I just want to make sure and kind of address that. And I'm sorry, Mark, what was your second question?
What does the revising look like from a writer's standpoint? Like, how do you go into the book and actually revise it?
Well, I mean, that really depends on what you're revising. So let me give you a couple of examples. So I talked about my books. They need updates just because things change with publishing a lot. In social media, they change a lot. In another case, so the author with the science fiction books, he basically didn't rewrite any of it. He just literally just republished the books, changed the cover, chopped them into four parts, and released them on Amazon as new titles. In another case, we have an author who is actually rewriting a very popular series, not necessarily to change it, because obviously it was popular, so we don't want to mess with success, but to help enhance it. So including things like chapters that didn't make the original cut. So in some ways, creating sort of a director's cut of this book. The existing book will probably remain on Amazon just by nature of how much she's updating it. And then this one will be a new title. Does that make sense?
Yes, I see how you're, like, it's different based on the book. Sometimes you're chopping it down, sometimes just adding things that are a little new, but still flow with the contents of the book.
Yeah, exactly. And part of this is, you know, a lot of this, I would say that 70% of this is really not so much born out of, oh, my book needs updating because the content is outdated. It comes out of an author saying, you know what, I just didn't do this the right way the first time around. I want to get a second chance. I want a do-over. And this is an opportunity for them to have a do-over.
I do see that as like just understanding what happens when you revise and re-release. I do see that as one of the main reasons people do want to pursue that action. Like, they messed up with their promotion,
yeah,
or they messed up with something in their book, and they just want to make it better and get more sales. And is there any difference between how you promote a 100% new book, like new topic, like all the content's new, versus a revised then re-released book?
Well, yes, there is a difference. And typically it will. So I wrote How to Sell Books by the Truckload on Amazon, and I wrote the first edition, I think, 2 years ago. I want to say that book has been updated 5 times. Every time that I update that book, the amount of content that changes varies. So it's not 20% or 50% or 70%. Sometimes it's all over the board. But I will always add an addition to the book cover that specifies the year that it was updated. So this year in January, I just released it. It says 2018 edition. So that's something that I try, and this is particular to nonfiction. So that is something that I try to encourage authors. If you're updating the book, if it's a fairly major update, then we're usually talking about, you know, re-releasing the book. I will recommend that you put it somewhere on the cover so that they know that it's either an enhanced edition, a new edition, because if you have a number of the same books on Amazon, it can get a little bit confusing to the reader too. So it's a good way to funnel them into the newer title.
I really like that idea of having the update, because like a book about like getting more sales written like 6 years ago is going to have a lot, yeah, of different advice from updated in 2018. So, and it's good, yeah, that you advertise that on the cover too. And I mean, if you do that, like as you are, then like when 2019 rolls around, people are going to know that they have the outdated version and they can just go and buy the 2019 version.
Absolutely. And, you know, the problem with a lot of, you know, this is a problem that a lot of nonfiction authors face, right? So they are writing, so almost any market, dieting, dating, finances, especially social media, especially book marketing. I mean, pretty much anything needs to be updated pretty frequently. So, you know, this is certainly one way to do that, to revise and re-release. Again, you can certainly publish over the other book, retain all of the reviews, but I would always recommend putting the latest edition on the cover, because readers are very swayed. I mean, if I see a book advertised that, let's say, about, I don't know, healthy eating, okay, and it was written 5 years ago, you and I both know the strides that research has had in terms of healthy eating, right? So I'm probably not going to get something that's older, but if there is, you know, if there's something on there that says, hey, newly revised edition, then I'm going to probably look through the description to see what in particular has been changed, what has been revised. So the next element of this is tell your readers what you updated. And you don't have to go into so much detail, but you can add bullet points of, you know, new research, bullet point, boom, new research on such and such. Just added a chapter on this, added, you know, so they know. And especially if you have a fan base or a newsletter list that has purchased the original edition, you really want to be very clear on what has been updated so they know whether or not to spend the money on the new book.
I really like that idea of also being clear on the updates, because as you mentioned, when you communicate with your newsletter, and the email list is where that's like the most valuable resource you have for driving sales. And I mean, like, there are a lot of ways to make sales, but the email list and growing that is definitely, arguably, but in my opinion, definitely the most powerful way to drive sales for your books. And a lot of people, they do want to drive sales for your books, especially like you spend so much time writing the book, publishing it. Some books make more sales than others. And I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most authors back from hitting their sales goals for their books?
Oh, I think that is such a great question. I just taught a class at the Ventura Writers Conference on Saturday. And we talked about where readers, so we talked about some of the mistakes that authors make when they're publishing their books. The biggest mistake, the number one mistake that authors make, is that they do not write for their reader, right? They write the book that they want to read, which I think is an important statement. I mean, obviously, first you're writing for yourself, but I will tell you that if you want to sell books, you'd better be writing for your reader. You'd better know what your reader wants. And the way to know that is by, you know, reading other books in your genre. So Stephen King said, how to be a good writer is be a good reader. And that's the first piece of it, because, you know, a lot of times I see authors and they'll say this very fatal sentence of, oh, they'll buy it anyway. Mm-hmm. And readers actually won't buy it anyway. So if your cover doesn't match what the quote unquote look of the genre is, and I don't care what genre you've written in, there is always some look or feel to that genre, right? If your book isn't written, and I'm not talking about making your book formulaic, I'm talking about living up to the expectations of the genre, right? So those are the things right up front. And a lot of times authors say, well, maybe I didn't get enough reviews and maybe I didn't that. And those are all valid concerns. But you aren't going to get enough reviews if you first haven't produced a book that is in line with your market.
That's something we should all be thinking about. And I feel like as we get deeper into writing the book, we do think a little less about the person we're writing for, because we're just so deep into it, trying to get it done. Like in the beginning, a book is really exciting, but when you hit that middle part, you just want to get it done. And
oh yeah,
yeah. Even though your mind is saying get it done, just continue thinking about the customer, as Penny said.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you something. I mean, if you don't at some point totally hate your book, you probably haven't worked hard enough on it. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous statement, but anybody listening who has published a book knows exactly, because towards the end, especially when you're going through edits, you're like, I need this book to be done.
Yes.
I I love my latest book, you know, that I have out, but by the time that book was done, I was just like, somebody asked me, do you want to do another read through of it? I said, no, I do not want to read through this book again. I am so done with this book. But they do require, you know, they require that level of, you know, they require that level of dedication in order. Yeah. There are 4,500 books published every day in this country. Literally, like, this staggering, you know, mind-blowing number. And granted, a lot of those authors who are releasing those books aren't thinking about marketing. They're just thinking about this wonderful book and this awesome experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you got to start thinking about marketing right away.
And I mean, marketing is like, that's what gets the sales. That's what allows you to continue to write more books and to re-release future books. Because if you're able to make the revenue with your books, that's something you can continue doing, especially when you have figured out a system you can rely on for making revenue with your books. And as Penny mentioned, like, one of the challenges we face is when we're in the middle of the book, we just want it to be over with. I am currently in that stage right now with the book that I'm writing. Yeah, like any author, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's a challenge you all face. But Penny, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
That's a great question. And the one big challenge that I learned that happened to me was some years ago when I had gotten a contract with a traditional publisher, and I was literally on the plane to New York and to talk to them, to brainstorm with them about the book. And it was super exciting. And it was my internet publicity, my internet marketing book. And I'm on the plane and I get a message from my agent. And she says, because at that point, everything in publishing was collapsing. Everything was collapsing. This was right after, I want to say this is probably right after the real estate collapse. Anyway, and she sent me a message and she said, well, the deal is not happening. And literally at that moment, the plane takes off for New York. So here I am flying to New York and I'm ready to meet with the publishers and there's no deal. So I'm, you know, 5.5 hours, I'm driving, I'm flying across the country and I'm feeling all really sorry for myself. And I land and I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now I have 3 days in New York. You know, 3 days in New York is not the worst thing that can happen to a person. But I'm all about having this pity party. So then I get back to my hotel room and I'm checking my email and I'm really mad at the world, right? I'm just like, oh my God, this is awful. I hate publishing. I'm done with publishing. I hate this whole experience. And I get an email from a reader and she writes me and she says, you know what, Penny, I was in your class 2 years ago and I just wanted to thank you so much for teaching us about publishing and how to get published. She goes, my husband at the time had all these secret barbecue sauce recipes that he made for all of the family around all of the summer barbecue season. And we all really wanted him to put this into a book. And so we helped him. He finally decided to divulge to all of us the recipe secrets, put them in a book, and we were going to give them away for Christmas gifts to the entire family because they would all love this. He was diagnosed. They finished the book. He was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor and died 2 months later before Christmas. And so she wrote me and she said, you know, Penny, she goes, I just wanted to thank you so much because your class had such an impact. And this book is this gift to our family. She said, we were very clear at the beginning that it was just going to be for our family. This wasn't something that we wanted to be on some kind of cooking show. We wanted to just really honor his legacy. And I sat back and I thought, you know, this is just so stupid. And that to me was really kind of a wake up call because we are reminded why we are in this industry. We are reminded, you know, that reminded me that this really isn't about, you know, being viral on YouTube or that publishing contract that I didn't get or whatever. It's about the changes that we, you know, how we help people to change their lives. Even if you're just, you know, even if it's just entertainment, I don't care what your book is about, but at some point you are helping to enhance your reader's life in some way. And that is at the end of the day why we're in this industry. And that to me is something that I always remember every time I feel like, oh, this publishing industry is just so chaotic. I kind of, like, I just feel like I just want to beat my head against the wall. And I remember this woman who was just so grateful that she, you know, been in that class and published this book. And I thought, you know what, that's really what it's all about.
Wow, that's a powerful message. And I think that goes to the similar idea how people sometimes forget why they are in the field that they're in, why they're writing books, why they're growing their business, why they're doing all the things that they do. And tapping into your why, that is something really big to take away from that story and from this episode in general. Like sometimes, like, you just have to, like, when you remember why you're doing what you're doing, like, the problems that come up, the challenges don't seem to be as big.
Well, I think that you have to remember, you know, you really do have to remember why you're doing it. And it's very easy to get caught up in what you're not getting. I'm not getting reviews. I'm not getting sales. I'm not getting this. And I don't mean to be all, like, super motivational, but it really is true. Like, you have to focus on what it is that, you know, the fact that you're out there and you maybe change somebody's life, and hopefully they wrote you and told you, because that's an awesome thing when they do that. But if you can keep, you have, if you can keep it in perspective, because I've seen, you know, over the 18 years that I've been in business, I've seen authors who take this so seriously that they feel like, you know, just because they are not selling a huge amount of copies right out of the gate, that it's a, you know, that they take that very personally. And most books don't sell big numbers right out of the gate. I mean, some books do, you know, really, really well. But most books, I would say 99% of the books published, they aren't massive bestsellers right out of the gate. And so you got to keep it in perspective, and you have to keep plugging along, because at some point, all that effort that you put in, that tide starts to turn, and now you're starting to see, you know, readers are writing you, and I loved your book. You're getting asked, maybe you're getting asked to do speaking or doing events, and then it all starts to come in, and you go, okay, now this is starting to make sense. But sadly, many folks give up, you know, way before that, and just think, oh, I'm just throwing in the towel. This is too much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to pursue any worthy goal. And one of the things that can help you achieve your goal is to learn as much about your niche as possible. And my favorite way of learning is to read as many books as possible, also write them like Penny does. And with that in mind, Penny, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Oh, wow. So I read, I love pretty much anything that Seth Godin writes.
Yes, me too.
I think Seth Godin is absolutely brilliant. I believe in reading very heavily in your market. I've read quite a number of books. I just finished a book about superfans that I really loved that was actually just out. But I really believe in anything that is going to enhance your knowledge, continuing to learn, and or empower you and inspire you. And for whatever reason, Seth Godin seems to have this crystal ball into what's happening and what's, you know, what's coming next. And every single one of his books is always spot on.
Yeah, I do like those Seth Godin books. Do you have like a favorite one that he's written?
Oh my gosh, I've got a whole bunch of them on my shelf. And I think that, you know, Small is the New Big is one that I will tell you that I read that book a long time ago. But Small is the New Big was a great book, and it's really kind of interesting how even more relevant it is today than it was, I think, when it was written. And he talks about, you know, small tribes of people. And one of the things that we have seen is that big numbers do not matter as much as I think they used to. Because it was a time when, you know, authors would say to me, whoa, Penny, I want to be, you know, I want you to pitch me to some blogger who has a million followers. And it's not that that's not a great thing, and it's still somewhat relevant today. But one of the things that we're seeing is that the smaller the fan base, a lot of times the more engaged the fans are. And that's one of the things that he talks about in this book, is that take your focus away from going after all of the big tickets and instead focus on the small things, because they tend to have, they're easier to get to. They have a much more engaged and excited fan base. Many times, you know, if you're seeing people that are posting something and they're part of, you know, they have, let's say, 1,000 followers or something on Facebook, but those followers are commenting, or many of those followers are commenting on every single thing that they post, that is way more engagement than somebody who has 1 million followers on Facebook that barely comment on anything that that they're talking about on the page. So, you know, that's something that, again, it's kind of interesting that he wrote this book. I want to say this book is probably 6 or 7 years old. It's still sitting on my bookshelf, but it's way more relevant today.
Thank you for sharing that book recommendation, a few ideas of where we can find inspiration for our books. And for anyone who wants a book on how they can create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue, you can grab my book, Content Marketing Secrets, over at markgubberty.com/book. And before we wrap up our conversation, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I believe that the question that we need to be asking ourselves when it comes to book promotion is, what's the most important thing that I can do to promote my book today? Because a lot of times we sit there with a list of tasks that we feel like we need to do, but not all of it really matters necessarily. And continuing to reevaluate that on a daily basis, I think, is one of the best things that you can do. And like I said, asking yourself, what is the most important thing that I can be focused on? And not, you know, staying in tune with what's happening with the book as opposed to what you think you should be doing. Because some guy in your book group is doing it and he's doing really great and it's awesome, right? The most successful kind of book promotion is one that is constantly evaluated to see whether or not it's working, and not just doing stuff that you think you should be doing because somebody told you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like that. I really like the question, just focusing on all the things we should be doing each day to promote the book. And like, I really love that focus of just daily actions we could be taking instead of like this broad picture of like, what can I do this year, for instance, without any daily action steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, just as an example of this is that, you know, a lot of times authors talk about, well, I'm going to do a bunch of ads on Facebook, and maybe that works very well for you. I find in general that doing Facebook ads isn't something that, works consistently across the board, right? So don't just do something because, like I was saying, a bunch of people in your book group are doing it, or you were at a writer's conference and you heard somebody talking about, oh my gosh, this was so successful for me. It's great to learn from that success. But one of the things that I've discovered is that what works well for one person doesn't necessarily work well for another. So evaluate that for yourself and see what you feel is getting you the most bounce. What's getting you the most response? What's getting you the most reaction?
Penny, I love that idea that basically not like there's something that's going to work for someone that may not work for you. And it's great for us to just think of what works for us and to focus on that. And I'm very grateful for all the insights that you shared throughout our time together. Penny's book will be in the show notes. The title, though, is How to Revise and Re-Release Your Book, Simple and Smart Strategies to Sell More Books. That will be in the show notes for this episode, markgubberty.com/E180. Penny, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn